जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपीचंद बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपीचंद बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी। यमुना तीर वन चारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपीचंद बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपीचंद बल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी। यमुना तीर वन चारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस वरिवराज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरष्ट श्री श्रीमरे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। समवेता भक्त वृंद की जय। ऑल ग्रेस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्रेस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्रेस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्रेस श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 55, Chapter Summary, and Text Number 1. The History of Pradyumna. This chapter tells how Pradyumna was born as the son of Lord Krishna and then kidnapped by the demon Shambhara. It also describes how Pradyumna killed Shambhara and returned home with a wife. Kamadev, Cupid, an expansion of Lord Vasudev, had been burnt to ashes by Lord Shiva's anger and was reborn as part and parcel of Pradyumna from the womb of Rukmini. A demon named Shambhara, thinking Pradyumna his enemy, kidnapped him from the maternity room even before he was 10 days old. Shambhara threw Pradyumna into the ocean and returned to his kingdom. A powerful fish swallowed Pradyumna and was caught by fishermen in a net. They presented the huge fish to Shambhara, and when his cook cut it open, they found a child within its belly. The cooks gave the infant to the maidservant Mayavati, who was astonished to see him. Just then, Narada Muni appeared and told her who the infant was. Mayavati was actually Kamadev's wife, Renti Devi. While waiting for her husband to be reborn in a new body, she had taken employment as a cook in the household of Shambhara. Now that she understood who the infant was, she began to feel intense affection for him. After a very short time, Pradyumna grew to youthful maturity, entrancing all the women with his beauty. Once Renti Devi approached Pradyumna and playfully moved her eyebrows in a conjugal mood. Addressing her as his mother, Pradyumna commented that she was putting aside her proper maternal mood and behaving like a passionate girlfriend. Renti then told Pradyumna who they both were. She advised him to kill Shambhara, and to help him, she instructed him in the mystic mantras known as Mahamaya. Pradyumna went to Shambhara, and after angering him with various insults, challenged him to fight, upon which Shambhara angrily took up his club and marched outside. The demon tried various magic spells against Pradyumna, but Pradyumna fended off all of them with the Maha Maya mantras and then beheaded Shambhara with his sword. At that moment, Renti Devi appeared in the sky and took Pradyumna away to Dwarka. When Pradyumna and his wife entered the inner chambers of Lord Krishna's palace, the many beautiful ladies there thought he was Krishna himself. So much did his appearance and dress resemble the Lord's. Out of shyness, the ladies ran here and there to hide themselves. But after a little while, they noticed small differences in Pradyumna's and Krishna's appearances. And once they understood that he was not Lord Krishna, they gathered around him. When Rukmini Devi saw Pradyumna, she felt overwhelmed with motherly love, and milk began to flow spontaneously from her breasts. Noting that Pradyumna looked exactly like Krishna, she became eager to find out who he was. She remembered how one of her sons had been abducted from the maternity room. If he were still alive, she thought, he would be the same age as this Pradyumna standing before me. While Rukmini reflected in this way, Lord Krishna arrived in the company of Devaki and Vasudeva. Although the Lord understood the situation perfectly well, he remained silent. Then Narada Muni arrived and explained everything. Everyone was amazed to hear the account and embraced Pradyumna in great ecstasy. Because Pradyumna's beauty so closely resembled Krishna's, the ladies in a maternal relationship with Pradyumna could not help thinking of him as their conjugal lover. Because Pradyumna's beauty so closely resembled Krishna's, Because Prajumna's beauty so closely resembled Krishna's, the ladies in a maternal relationship with Prajumna could not help thinking of him as their conjugal lover. He was, after all, the exact reflection of Sri Krishna, and therefore it was natural for them to see him in this way. Text number one, the word meanings. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Shukadev Goswami said, Kamaha, Cupid, tu, and Vasudeva, of Lord Vasudeva, Angshaha, the expansion, Dugdaha, burned, Prak, previously, Rudra, of Lord Shiva, Manyuna, by the anger, Deha, a body, Upapattaye, in order to obtain, Buyaha, again, Tum, to him, Lord Vasudeva, Eva, indeed, Pratyapadyat, came back. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Kamastu Vasudevangsho, Dagda Pragrudra Manyuna, Dehopa Puttaye Bhuyas, Tameva Pratyapadyata, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Kamastu Vasudevangsho, Dagda Pragrudra Manyuna, Dehopa Puttaye Bhuyas, Tameva Pratyapadyata, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Kamastu Vasudevangsho, Dagda Pragrudra Manyuna, Dehopa Puttaye Bhuyas, Tameva Pratyapadyata. Nishuga Vacha
Kamastu Vasudevamsa Kamastu Vasudevamsa
Tameva Pratyapadyata Shishuka Uvacha Kamastu Vasudevamsho Dagda Pragrudra Manyuna Dehopa Puttaye Bhuyas Tameva Pratyapadyata Shishuka Uvacha Kamastu Vasudevamsho Dagda Pragrudra Manyuna Dehopa Puttaye Bhuyas Tameva Pratyapadyata. Ladies. Sri Shuka Uvacha Namastu Vasudevamsho Dagda Pragrudra Manyuna Dehopa Puttaye Bhuyas Tameva Pratyapadyata. Thank you. Vasudevanso. Labdha Prarudramam Yuna. Eho Kokottaye Bhuyas. Tameva Pratyapadyata. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, Kamadev, Cupid, an expansion of Vasudev, had previously been burned to ashes by Rudra's anger. Now, to obtain a new body, he merged back into the body of Lord Vasudev. Purport. In his Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 87, Srila Jiva Goswami cites the following verse of the Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2:40 to prove that the Pradyumna who is the son of Krishna and Rukmini is the same Pradyumna who is a member of Lord Krishna's eternal fourfold plenary expansion, the Chatur Vyuha. Yatra asau sangstita Krishna's tribhi shaktya samahitaha Rama nirudha Pradyumnai Rukminya sahito vibhu. There in Dwarka, the mighty Lord Krishna, endowed with his full potency, resided in the company of his three plenary expansions, Balaram, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. The Krishna Sandarbha goes on to explain, with reference to the present verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Cupid whom Rudra burned up with his anger is a demigod subordinate to Indra. This demigod Cupid is a partial manifestation of the prototype Cupid, Pradyumna, who is a plenary expansion of Vasudeva. The Cupid Pradyumna, being unable to attain a new body on his own, entered within the body of Pradyumna. Otherwise, Cupid would have had to remain in a perpetual state of disembodiment, a result of Rudra's having incinerated him with his anger. In his English rendering of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.14.30 purport, Srila Prabhupada confirms the absolute status of Pradyumna, Lord Krishna's first son. Pradyumna and Aniruddha are also expansions of the personality of Godhead, and thus they are also Vishnu Tattva. At Dwaraka, Lord Vasudeva is engaged in his transcendental pastimes, along with his plenary expansions, namely Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, and therefore each and every one of them can be addressed as the personality of Godhead. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Pradyumna took birth from the womb of Rukmini before Sri Krishna's marriage to Jambavati and the Lord's other marriages took place. Subsequently, Pradyumna returned from Shambhara's palace. But before Shukadeva tells of Krishna's pastimes with his other wives, he will narrate the entire story of Pradyumna for the sake of continuity. Srila Sridhar Swami further notes that Kamadeva, or Cupid, now appearing as Pradyumna, is a portion of Vasudeva because he is manifest from the element Chitta, consciousness, which is presided over by Vasudeva, and also because he, Cupid, is the cause of material generation. As the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita 10:28, Prajanaschasmi Kandarpa, or progenitors, I am Kandarpa, Cupid. Oma jnana timinandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitamena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Kamadeva, Cupid, an expansion of Vasudeva, had previously been burned to ashes by Rudra's anger. Now to obtain a new body, he merged back into the body of Lord Vasudeva. Some weeks ago, I gave a class on the Chatur Vyuha. Some of you may remember, it was quite technical. I prepared for it, and then now I've forgotten everything I said. So we won't do the technical side today. We'll talk about the other Cupid. This Cupid, Pradyumna, is the original. He's the original Cupid. Or Krishna. Krishna is the original Cupid. Madan. Madan Mohan, Cupid is also called Madan. Madan means lust or attraction. Krishna's Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. And of course, Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. Cupid is a problem for us. It's interesting that we hear how beautiful he is here. We hear about Cupid, we think of Cupid as Prabhupada talks about him. When one is attacked by Cupid, by the arrows of Cupid, then we become attracted to the opposite sex. So Cupid has potency like that. He can make us, bewilder us, so we're attracted to the material energy, especially in the form of the opposite sex. But Cupid himself is also extremely beautiful. Here is described how beautiful Cupid is. He looks just like Krishna, so he's extremely beautiful. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Krishna's served by millions of Cupids. Prabhupada talking about this line from the Brahma Samhita. He says, just think, Cupid is so beautiful that he attracts everyone. But think of millions and millions of Cupids in one place. Then Krishna is more beautiful than that. If you condense it all those Cupids, the attractive quality, then Krishna is more beautiful than that. But for us, we're attracted to that other Cupid and the potencies of that Cupid. And as those potencies are also packaged, you can say, in the form of Maya, Maya Devi. In the context of attraction, I always think of Haridas Thakur. This pastime of Haridas Thakur is so amazing. Prabhupada would often use it, Haridas being enticed by Maya Devi. Prabhupada would use it to point out the difference between the ordinary yogi and the devotee who's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, absorbed in love for Krishna. The ordinary yogi can sometimes fall down, just like Vishvamitra. He was attracted by one of Indra's weapons. This, I'll talk about this a little more. Indra, he uses Cupid and other powers to... He's always concerned that someone's going to get his post, that someone's performing great austerities. He's afraid. Well, because how do you get Indra's post? By accumulating austerities, practicing yoga and so on. So he's always afraid he's going to be knocked out of his position. So he sends the society girls to entice. So he did that with Vishvamitra, and it worked. He sent Menaka, and she fell down. But when Maya Devi herself went to Haridas Thakur, Prabhupada points out that Haridas was a young man. This happens apparently sometime before Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world. There were a few devotees. We know Advaita Acharya and his small group of associates were chanting the holy names. This happens in Krishna's pastimes. He sends his... Because some people, when Krishna comes, some people have to be his devotees who are older than him. So they had to come before him, naturally. So Haridas Thakur, he was one of those who came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he was a young man, he was chanting, already chanting day and night, hundreds of thousands of Maha Mantras, holy names, hundreds of thousands of names. So there he was chanting, and Maya Devi herself appeared before him to entice him. So I always think of this. You know, Maya, what does it mean? It means if you took everything that's attractive in this world and put it into one feminine form, consolidated, condensed, that's Maya Devi. So how attractive? Who could resist? Nobody could resist. Unless you don't have any attraction to the material energy whatsoever. Now those of us who may not be in that category, we might not be able to resist. In fact, it probably wouldn't take Maya Devi herself. There's an expression, every man has his price. So whatever that price is, Maya Devi can send it if she wants to. It's only Krishna who's protecting us, helping us out. Otherwise, we could easily fall down. Were we not being protected by Krishna? Now Krishna, he says, his devotee, he'll protect his devotees. So Haridas Thakur, he was able to resist because he was absorbed in chanting the holy names. There was no room in his consciousness for anything else. Krishna is sometimes called the Cupid. Many times in Krishna's pastimes, and this comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita in different places, where Lord Chaitanya is rhapsodizing about Krishna and the gopis, for example, and describing how beautiful Krishna is. He's the original transcendental Cupid. And when he plays his flute, then everyone just becomes bewildered and maddened. There's one, Lord Chaitanya is talking about Krishna playing his flute in one place, and he says that the gopis become so captivated by Krishna's flute. His flute is like a bird. This metaphor, Lord Chaitanya gives this metaphor, that the sound of Krishna's flute is like a bird. And that sound enters into the gopis' ears and it makes a nest in there. And it keeps out all other sounds. This bird doesn't let any other sounds come into the gopis' ears. So then their full concentration is on the sound of that flute. And no other thought can enter into their consciousness. And even if you try to interact with them, they don't respond because they're too absorbed in the sound of Krishna's flute. So in the purport to that verse, it's actually a Bhajalila 21.144. Srila Prabhupada writes that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is representative of Krishna's flute, or is the representative of Krishna's flute. So the Maha Mantra has the equivalent potency as the sound of Krishna's flute. And if one always has the, one is, or has, one has been captured by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or has captured the Maha Mantra within one's heart, or the sincere chanter of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can always be protected because of the absorption in the sound of Krishna's flute. So like everything else, our protection is the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is the answer to everything, the solution to everything. We find even in different places in the Lord's pastimes how, or in the pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam that are given in different places, and it's not only in Kali Yuga, but throughout different ages, how devotees, as part of their meditation, they absorb in the sound of Krishna's name or Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's characteristics. These are all equivalent. Somehow the devotees, they fix their mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, and then they're protected. I was saying about Indra. So Indra, he likes to send his bewildering associates to turn people away from their austerities. One of those examples was Markandeya. Well, there are a couple that come to mind. One is Markandeya Rishi. That's told in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But also Naranarayana Rishi. Their history is given in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They're born as the son. Now, Prabhupada refers to him in the singular. It's always bewildering. Naranarayan, is it two or one? Are they twins? But Prabhupada refers to him, the sage Narayan. Sometimes he's just called the sage Narayan. Yet srishta srishta srishte shu ko na kanditati puman rishim narayanam rite. The Yoshin Mayeva Mayaya. This is one of Kapila Dev. When Kapila Dev is giving all those heavy instructions about the attraction of women. So he says there that among those, all the living entities created by Lord Brahma, none but the sage Narayan is immune from the attraction of Maya in the form of a woman. So there it says, the sage Narayan, Rishin Narayanam. So the sage Narayan or Naranarayana Rishi, they appeared from the womb of Meru Devi and her husband Dharma. Dharma was created from the breast of Lord Brahma, the right breast, it's pointed out, of Lord Brahma. And he married Meru Devi, one of the daughters of Daksha. And their son was Naranarayana Rishi. So Naranarayana Rishi, as soon as he came to this world, began performing austerities. That's his business. He's still performing. The verse in the Bhagavatam says he is still performing austerity at Bhadrikashram. In fact, Narada goes there a lot. That's one of the places where Narada goes. He's always traveling, but it's sort of his home base. he always goes to. And because one reason he goes there is because it's always full of sages. Besides meditating and performing austerities, Narayana Rishi are also preaching, giving Krishna Katha, giving Bhagavatam class constantly. So Narada likes to go there and hear. So he goes there and takes advantage of the association. So Narayana Rishi were performing austerities, and Lord Indra became fearful that he was going to lose his post. So he sent Cupid. Cupid is a deva, Kamadev. He's a demigod. And he's an associate of Lord Indra. So he sent him and some of his associates who also have potency to bewilder, like springtime and pleasant breezes and all the things that create agitating atmosphere. We have this expression, spring fever. So that means attraction, especially in springtime, maybe it awakens attraction to the opposite sex. So Lord Indra sent his associates to captivate the mind of Narayana Rishi. But Narayana Rishi wasn't disturbed at all. In fact, from his own body, he manifested so many beautiful women. And the demigods, when they saw this, they were ashamed, they were afraid, actually. They thought, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. They had some realization, this is the Lord, and we're going to get cursed, and what's going to happen to us? We're just doing our job here. Indra sent us. We're in trouble. And they offered prayers to Narayana. And one of the prayers they offered, Kamadev says, that we demigods are always causing problems to the devotees of the Lord. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's like we don't have enough problems already. Now the demigods are trying to impede our progress. And they do that because they're envious, actually, that Vasudev, Krishna, has such dedicated devotees. The devotees of the demigods tend to be somewhat fickle. They'll go where they can get something, you know, something material. So they may reject some demigod and go to another demigod and try there. If they don't get it here, they'll try some other place. But the servants of Vasudev are completely dedicated. So they're envious of this. So they try to get them away from Vasudev, basically. But the verse says, but you always protect them so they don't deviate from being situated at your lotus feet. So Krishna gives the power that even the demigods may send something, just as I was saying. The demigods can certainly, if we weren't protected by Krishna, then what would happen to us? We would fall down. Every man has his price, and everyone has their price. Material energy can overpower us. We're tiny. We're tiny jivas struggling. As Krishna says in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the jiva struggles against the material energy. In one sense, we could think, well, the material energy is para, or the spiritual energy, the jiva, is marginal, but para prakriti. Higher, the higher of the two. We say inferior and superior. And superior. So Maya, the material energy, is supposed to be the inferior. But so if we're superior, we should be able to conquer over the material energy. But because we're infinitesimal, we can't. But that's really not the reason. It's because Maya is being wielded by Krishna. She's in the hands of Krishna. Just like a stick is an inferior energy, but if a powerful person is wielding that stick, then you're inferior to that stick. The stick can control you. So Maya can control us because she's being controlled by Krishna. But Krishna can protect us. Krishna can give us the strength to overcome only by Krishna, as he says also in Bhagavad Gita, Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. There's an interesting verse by Kapila Dev. I remember when I came across this verse many years ago, then I was really in the mood of memorizing verses. Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena chatmana paripasyati udasinam praktim cha tojasam. So Kapila Dev says to his mother in the 25th chapter of the third canto, that when the devotee becomes self-realized and has knowledge and renunciation by dint of bhakti yoga, then the devotee can see everything in the right perspective and the material energy acts less powerfully upon him. Now, I've had this verse in my mind for many years, and I always thought of it as it kind of gave me relief, like, oh, Maya's going to let up. The material energy acts less powerfully on him. So I always took it, I had this in my mind for a long time, that Krishna's going to tell Maya, okay, back off a little bit from this devotee. But I was just happening in my step-by-step reading of the Bhagavatam, I just came across this verse recently, and I read the purport, which I hadn't read in many years. And Prabhupada's whole purport is not that Maya lets off, he doesn't make that point, but that we become self-realized, we become Krishna conscious. And that's why the material energy acts less powerfully upon us. It's because of our, not our strength exactly, but because of when the devotee becomes Krishna conscious, then Maya, the effect of Maya is less powerful. Not that she lets off necessarily, but the effect is less powerful. We're protected. We get strength. And what is that strength? What it means is that we're attracted to Krishna. That's what it's about. We become attracted to Krishna. Then we're protected. Then Maya has no lure. She can't allure us. She can't entice us, just like Haridas Thakur. She was doing all kinds of things. Just like it said here, what's her name? Rati. She was making conjugal gestures to Pradyumna. And he was saying, what are you doing, Mom? What's going on here? So Maya Devi was also doing the same kind of thing for Haridas Thakur, making conjugal gestures. You can just imagine, or maybe we don't want to imagine what those were. But he was not moved. He just smiled. The same thing with Narayana Rishi when Cupid was doing whatever. And there were so many beautiful women. He brought along all kinds of beautiful women. So he was just smiling. Like, what? What are you doing here? It's going to have no effect. I'm sorry. He just smiled, actually. It was like a joke. You're not going to attract me. So the devotee comes to that stage. We can come to that stage where Maya has no attraction. But the only way to get there is to be attracted to Krishna, because we have to be attracted one side or the other. There's one lecture in Prabhupada, or maybe it's in the purport in the Kapila Dev section, where Prabhupada says that consciousness is the platform of attachment. So our consciousness has to be fixed on something. So if it's not fixed on Krishna, it's going to grab onto something else. The reason for that is because we're small and subordinate. We need support. We need to hold on to something. So we're going to hold on to Maya's skirt if we don't hold on to Krishna, the sound of Krishna's flute or the Maha Mantra. So this ties into our festival. Why do we specifically put aside times like this? Because we make a very dedicated endeavor to let me fix my mind on the Maha Mantra, because it's so difficult. I know myself, every day I say, well, now today I'm going to hear better, but somehow it's always difficult. So what can we do? All we can do is keep trying. And it's up to Krishna, mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha, the memory, the attachment of the mind, it's up to Krishna ultimately. He'll reciprocate when he sees the effort, when he sees our sincere endeavor. We're dependent on him for everything. So we try and try and try over and over again. And then it comes to the point where it's spontaneous. Like the gopis, they just can't. Once they build the nest, they let the bird nest in their consciousness, the sound of Krishna's flute, then that's it. They're absorbed in it. So once it becomes spontaneous, then we can see that attachment becomes so strong. We have material examples, that spontaneous attachment, just like the parents' attachment to the children, I often think of this, how, you know, like sometimes parents, they lose a child is kidnapped or something. So just imagine what that's like. It's hard to imagine. Can the parents, how can they stop thinking of the child for a moment? And the intensity of it, the intensity of the desire to have the child back. So that's loulium. That intensity of desire. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra loulium api mulam ekalam janma koti sukrite na labhyate. Rupa Goswami says, that's the price we have to pay. We have to have that intense desire. Just like that. Or just like the child. Prabhupada gives it in the other direction. Instead of the parents longing for the child, it's the child longing for the parents. The baby is crying. I often think how when a baby cries, it's something we think it's just natural. Well, babies cry, that's what they do. So we tend not to be too traumatized by it ourselves, by witnessing it. But that doesn't mean it's not traumatic for the child. The child is crying. Maybe little things make them cry, but little things in a child's life, that's their whole life. They don't know anything else. Our consciousness expands out, and we can think of so many things. We can think of the whole world, so many philosophical things and so on. Our mind has a big sphere to operate in. But for the child, it's all right there. It's the body. It doesn't go beyond the body. The mouth, even, practically. It doesn't go beyond that. So if that's not satisfied, that's the whole world. The end of the world is coming because I'm not getting the milk or whatever. So it's so intense when the child cries. It is a traumatic thing. It is like life or death for the child. So Prabhupada said, we must cry for Krishna like that. I'm going to die unless I get Krishna. And of course we will. Everyone in the world is dying or dead already. Walking dead. So we want life, real life. We have to eagerly aspire for that with great intense longing. And we try to get that to rise up somehow. Well, practice is the way we do it, only by practice and showing Krishna our sincerity, carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Otherwise, Maya is always waiting to see. You want something else? You want to be attracted by Cupid? I just came across, I was going to read this. I forget in the course of class now. It's kind of tacking on at the end here. I'll stop after this. But I just came across this in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We hear about Cupid's five arrows. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he quotes one verse that describes what those five arrows are. The first one is Mohana. So mohan means bewilderment or infatuation. And it begins with the eyes, it said, when you see the beautiful form of the opposite sex. Then first infatuation, bewilderment, and folly, foolishness. The people they become, they fall in love, they say. Fall in folly. And then that's mohana. Then the next one is stumbana, stunned, stumba. Become stunned and you forget everything else. Your big mind becomes absorbed in that object. Then unmadana. So madana, mada means intoxication. You become intoxicated. And then shoshana. Shosha means to dry up. Na shoshayati maruta. Krishna says you can't wither. The soul cannot be withered by the wind. So the next one is dried up. The intensity of the affection, the attraction is so strong that you can say everything else dries up or your heart becomes dry for other things. And then tapana. Tapana, that's the last one. Tapana means burned up. Tapa means heat. It's like tapasya, heat. So the affection is so strong, your heart aches with pain to get that desire. It burns. The desire is so intense. So this is what Cupid can do and does day after day in this world, causes this in people. So we want Cupid of Krishna. to capture our hearts like this, burn up all our other desires and fill our hearts with attraction to him. All right, I'll read the translation again. Shukadev Goswami said, Kamadev, Cupid, an expansion of Vasudev, had previously been burned to ashes by Rudra's anger. Now, to obtain a new body, he merged back into the body of Lord Vasudev. Any questions or comments? Let me look at the lady's side first. Here we go. I'll wait for the microphone, though. We've got to have a runner here.
Was Cupid trying to bewitch Lord Shiva when he incinerated him?
Yeah. I don't know the whole story. I don't know if Prabhupada tells it somewhere, but he was trying to... Now, is this in the connection of the devas? Yeah, that's the Kartikeya story. It's the Kartikeya story. So he must have somehow given in at some point. What is it called? Kumar Sambhav. So Kumar is Kartikeya, the son of Shiva and Parvati. So, of course, Prabhupada tells the story that Parvati was worshipping Shiva Linga, which means his genitals, and he was not agitated. He said, just imagine. He said, this is the definition of dhira. So, but at some point, he burned up Cupid during this episode. So I don't know how the whole story unfolds. Trivikram Prabhu?
A few points. Since this one came up, after Sati, this is one version, when Sati had burnt herself in the Daksha Yagya, she took birth as Nehru's.
I was just thinking how nicely that microphone is working for us. Because it was the wrong time?
Yeah.
Wrong season? Yes, well, he puts them in the same category with Krishna and Balaram. They're the original Chaturvyuha. Of course, you can say the original is in Vrindavan and not in Dwarka, but... Well, I think that's only because they're in Dwarka. That's why he's called that. Yeah, I don't know the Nara Narayan Tattva. I mean, we can say that the Lord and his energy are one, and they're not, they're also two. So that's one way of looking at it. But Nara, in that sense, represents the Jiva? Or I'm not sure. Arjuna's Jiva. So Jiva Tattva, is it? I don't know. There's probably a whole Purana on this somewhere. I think the way this this is a, there's a microphone up there, right? It picks up from the speaker. So if you talk loud enough, you can actually hear it.
Okay. In when Arjuna went to pick up the Brahmana's children from Mahavishnu's, that's where this topic came, that Mahavishnu saying, you are my expansion.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually reverse. Prabhupada translated as Sukhdev Goswami says, but actually it is reverse, that Arjuna figured it out according to Sanatana Goswami in Dasami Tippani, that actually Krishna instigated in Mahavishnu's heart to speak like this, which is, we don't accept it, that Krishna and Arjuna comes from Mahavishnu as his expansion. It's supposed to be opposite. So there the Sanatana Goswami Pad gives the whole description. It takes about an hour, the whole story of Vaikuntha, of how they came down. So it's there in the commentary. I was going to say, it's very nicely you mentioned, I remember a pastime of Prabhupada. I heard from the memory tape that he was in Boston, took a taxi in early days, and they didn't have a designated car yet for the Lord Prabhupada. So he, in the taxi, driver is looking at the rear view mirror, and he's saying, are you some kind of a Swami? And Prabhupada said, yes. I said, oh, what kind of Swami are you? Are you some kind of a Swami like sits on nails and meditate? Prabhupada said, no, better. So then driver says, better? What do you mean better? Then he could not come up with something. Then Prabhupada said, I can be in a room with a bunch of naked ladies and not be disturbed or agitated. Then the driver looked at him in the mirror and said, wow, wow, really, I never heard any Swami like that. Wow. And he was begging. But very nice that at the end, I didn't say, but the person I met, he said, Prabhupada said to him, that when you get attracted by Krishna, then all other attraction goes away. So that we have.
Kali Paniku. The switch is off.
Hare Krishna. Narayan Rishi are present in Bhadrak Ashram in the form of two mountains. And one of my most memorable ever experiences was going for 2 days up, 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 high into the Himalayas, arriving late at night amidst a thick fog, and thinking, oh, this is, I'm not going to be able to see anything. And then spending the night in a dingy hotel, coming out in the morning, opening the door, and being confronted by 1,500 feet of Narayan Rishi Mountain, covered in snow, and hit by the full strength morning sun. It was one of the most mystical experiences I ever had. Hare Krishna.
Let's go over here. Vilasini.
Hi, Sri. You were talking about the demigods and, you know, being able to cause problems to the devotees or trying to. I thought they had a certain amount of devotion themselves, though. Why would they try and impede Lord Chaitanya's movement or someone who's surrendering to Krishna? I mean, obviously, we're not going to take the place of Lord Indra with the little ability that we have. Why wouldn't they support us?
Well, it seems that because they're mixed devotees, just like Indra. It's like every time I look, Indra's doing something. I just came across reading the Nectar of Devotion where he became a crow and he scratched the breasts of Sita. I don't know that pastime. Like, boy, that's Indra again. Well, he's always doing something. But at the same time, he's worshiping Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva is living there with him in the heavenly planets. So why he acts the way he does is really confusing. So all we can say is they're not 100% pure devotees. They still have some material desires. They're still afraid. That's one lesson we learned from Indra. The other day it came up in class talking about fear. So Indra's afraid. He keeps doing things because he's afraid he's going to lose his position. So the
know, there's a little bit of envy left in them. That's where Prabhupada explains it. Or maybe the verse actually says it. They want to, you know, they don't like the exclusive devotion that the devotees have. So they're, you know, they're mixed, and they still have a little bit of Maya there, so they do things that are a little strange sometimes. Well, they are devotees, yeah. Well, and also when Prabhupada says the devotees won't be disturbed, maybe he's talking about different kinds of devotees too. Pure devotees, fully surrendered to Krishna, then you get the full protection of Krishna. If you're fully surrendered to Krishna, you get the full protection. Otherwise, you can be victimized by Maya or the demigods, agents. They're acting as agents of Maya, you can say, in that situation. Anyway, it doesn't really take demigods to entice us. We find so many devotees do so many things. I mean, what does it take? It doesn't take much. One spark of the material energy can bewilder us. Agni Dev Prabhu? Give the microphone to Agni Dev Prabhu. Selected for what?
For Manu dynasty. In every Manu.
Oh, for Manus, for Manus, all the people that support Manu. They'll be selected from ISKCON. Wow, that's going to be a problem, huh? Better learn how to manage ISKCON before we manage the universe.
I was, when Mataji said that she was, her question was, these demigods, they're devotees. Why do they want to cause problems to devotees? You know, and I thought at the moment she said it that we have the experience that devotees give us problems.
Yeah.
and they're devotees.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sometimes my mind, I can't understand how they can behave like that.
Mm-hmm. We give each other problems, right?
We give each other problems like anything. Mm.
Lakshmi Mani Prabhu.
Two things. One thing you said, and then it kind of went in another direction, but when you look at the three doers, you have us desiring, and then Krishna sanctioning, and then the material energy carrying it out. So the material energy, including the demigods as manipulators of the material energy, they're part of that equation. They're kind of meting out according to our desire, which is quite often materially tinged, and so we get what we pay for, or we get what we desire. And even as far as the devotees, we're agents of each other's karma. I mean, because we're kind of... what is it, like hemophiliacs, you know, that we're within a closed family, and we mostly associate with each other. So if we have to get something, that's going to come from inside, you know. So we're kind of helping each other out in a way, in a sense, that we help each other out by teaching each other lessons, as long as we can learn the lessons.
There's all the intricacies of who's responsible, what's the cause. And it's like Dharma in that first canto. He says, well, some people say this, some people say that, some people say that. Because you can look, there are many different causes. There's a whole string of causes, you might say. Ultimately, Krishna's the cause of everything. He's the cause of all causes. But where our desire, as you were talking, I was thinking of this, that apuryamanam machala pratishnam, that verse in the second canto, has rivers enter into the ocean doesn't become disturbed. There's the phrase there, kama kami. It means desiring to desire, literally, or desiring desires. So when we have the desire, you might say, to be deviated or to fall down or to be attracted. Just like the Karmis, they want sex desire. They want to be agitated. They take pills so they can. If they don't, because they want to be agitated, and they do everything they can. And they, when they get old, if that's, you know, dwindling, then, oh, they feel, oh, death is coming because I'm not sexually agitated anymore. So that's their life. So they're definitely kamakami. They want that attraction. But we're just the opposite. I often think of this phrase, how desire, we say, there are two different things. We say, well, I don't want sex, but I'm not free from sex desire. But it's like two ways of saying they're not quite the same thing. Because what is desire? Desire means want. So you desire sex? No, I don't. I don't. I've given that up. I don't want that. I'm following the regulative principles. Do you still have sex desire? Well, yeah, I guess I do. In fact, Narada Muni says as long as you have a material body and you think you're this body, then you have sex desire. So it's sort of like we can say, no, I don't desire it, but I still have sex desire. So how do you phrase it? Sometimes I think, well, maybe when Prabhupada said the disciples were free from desire, that's what he was talking about. We've decided, niskinchinasya bhagavad bhajanon vakasya. When one has decided, I don't want these things anymore, then you can say free from desire, although the desire is still there within the heart. So, depending on how strong our desire is to completely root out that, then there may be, we'll be more or less susceptible to these allurements that Maya has to offer. Madan Mohan Prabhu, let's finish up with this, 9 o'clock.
With that last statement that you don't have the desire, but you do have the desire, sometimes it's referred to as either identity, you're still partially identifying with the material body, so the material body, when you identify with that, it has a desire, but then you're also following sadhana, so you have an intelligence. So your intelligence is reviewing that, no, I don't, that's not a good path to take. So the intelligence, sometimes the mind is stronger, sometimes the intelligence is stronger. Because it mentions as long as, was that 259, the may be restricted from sense desires, though the taste remains, but experiencing a higher taste and he's fixed in consciousness. So, and also 270, the insensitive flow of desires that are entering like rivers is undisturbed. So he has his intelligence.
And that's why constant engagement is so important to protect ourselves. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.